Have you ever been riding down the road and all of a sudden found yourself face to face with a huge billboard? It's black and white, and that's all. And it says, prepare to meet your God. Preparing to meet your God is a matter of black and white. It's an absolute. The question is, precious one, are you prepared to meet God face to face? What happens to you when you die? You say, I don't want to talk about it. Then you and I need to talk about resurrection peace that can be yours when you die and when you live. Life. It's wonderful, isn't it? And we don't want to think about death. There are all sorts of views and theories about what happens when we die. But do you realize it really is a black and white issue? It's a black and white issue that is spelled out for us in a book of truth called the Word of God. And that's what this program, Precepts for Life, is all about. It's about learning God's precepts for life, learning what God has to say, and recognizing that when He says it, it's a black and white issue. There's no gray. It's either according to the Word and it's truth, or it's against the Word and it's a lie. We're looking at the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're looking at how important that message is. When we celebrate Easter, we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Easter, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Actually, it begins in the week before the Sunday of Easter. We begin celebrating, some churches begin celebrating during the week. Some people have a period of Lent that precedes or comes up to the day of Good Friday, and then that is followed by Easter Sunday. Good Friday is good because that's the day when God paid for your sins and my sins and all the sins of the whole world. And He paid for our sins through the blood of His Son. For God so loved the world. God so loved you, precious, precious one, that He crucified His Son. He put His Son to death on your behalf, so that your sins might be paid for in full, and so that you might pass from death to life, never to die again, so that He might give you His Son, and with His Son, who is the resurrection and the life, give you the gift of eternal life, so that when you die, it's not really dying, but it's passing from this life into the very presence of God, where you hear, welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, we're looking at this resurrection peace. We started in John chapter 19 when Mary went to the tomb to take care of the body of Jesus Christ, and she couldn't find Jesus. But there were two angels there, and they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said, because they've taken away the body of my Lord. They've laid Him somewhere, and I don't know where He is. She was weeping because she did not know about the resurrection. She did not understand that it was no longer a lifeless body lying there, but because He was the resurrection and because He was the life, that He lived never to die again. She didn't even recognize Him. She thought He was a gardener. When He said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Well, as we studied John, we found out that when they understood that Jesus had risen from the dead, three times He says, peace be unto you, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. In other words, I'm raised from the dead, and you are at peace with God, and you are at peace with death, because the stinger has been taken out of death. So then in our last program, we began to look at resurrection peace that comes because the stinger has been taken out of death. You see, we used to be able to be intimidated by the fear of death because we feared death because we didn't know what would happen to us. But if we know and understand that death does not separate us from God, but death prepares us to meet our God if we know Jesus, if we know the one who is the resurrection and the life, the way, and the truth, or the truth, the way, and the life that comes, enables us to come to the Father. Well, we looked at that. Now, what I want you to see in today's lesson is I want you to see the message that went out after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it has to do with taking the sting out of death. So let's open our Bibles, and I want us to open our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Now, Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. It's the feast day that follows the feast of Passover. And if you want to download this wonderful, wonderful chart that is taken and used by permission of the New Inductive Study Bible, you can download this chart. It's at the end of the book of Leviticus, if you have the New Inductive Study Bible, but it's a chart that shows you the feasts. And what happened was Jesus was crucified on the Passover, at the feast of the Passover. And then came the Feast of First Fruits, and then that's when Jesus was raised from the dead. The Feast of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits makes up the Feast of Passover, or they sometimes call it the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then what you have is you have, and that's in the first month. In the third month, 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, what you have is the Feast of Pentecost. Pente being 50. And it was on the Feast of Pentecost that Peter was delivering the message in Acts chapter 2, the message that is a message of life. So you want to turn, if you have an inductive study Bible, you want to turn to the end of Leviticus and look at that chart just so you can see when the Feast of Pentecost happens in relationship to the Feast of Passover, or just go to preceptsforlife.com, and you can download that chart absolutely free. And it will help you whenever you study the New Testament, because when you study the New Testament, especially the Gospels, Jesus is always going to a feast. And so you can find out what feast he's going to, because all the adult males were required to go to these feasts 3 times a year. Well, as I said, it's the Feast of Pentecost. And all of a sudden, there's a sound of this mighty rushing wind. There are cloven tongues of fire above their heads. And all of a sudden, men begin to speak. And they begin to speak about the glories of God. But they're speaking in dialects that they have not learned. And so as they speak in those dialects, and they are literal dialects, literal known languages, it's the Greek word dialectos, all of a sudden, they want to know what's happening. And so Peter stands up and he delivers a message. And he explains that this is what was prophesied in Joel when God is pouring out his Spirit upon men and women, young and old, free and slave. And this is what he says. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, and you put him to death. But God raised him again. It is so interesting. If we had time, we would just sit down and go through the first six chapters of the book of Acts, and we would mark in a very specific way, as I've marked in my Bible, every reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So many times we just think about his death, and we don't realize that the peace comes not in his death, but in his resurrection. Because it's the resurrection that testifies to the work of the death of Jesus Christ, taking care of your sins and my sins so that you and I are prepared to meet God. Well, he goes on to say, and I want to go back and just say this, that it is Jesus who was delivered over. Now, I want you to see this, by a predetermined plan of and foreknowledge of God. The predetermined plan of foreknowledge of God. So what I want you to see is the death of Jesus Christ was planned by God. It has a purpose, and that purpose is to bring peace between you and God. And this is what he says, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. I want you to underline that or highlight that. And if you're marking the word death, as I do in my Bible, with a black tombstone, I don't color it black, I just do the outline of a tombstone, then what you see is you see every place that death is mentioned in the Word of God. And so you can learn a lot by marking it. And it says, God raised him up, putting an end to the agony of death. What is the agony of death? The agony of death is that you don't know what's going to happen when you die. You don't know what awaits you, and that is agony. But if you're prepared to meet your God and you understand the resurrection and the peace that comes from believing in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then death has no agony. The stinger of death is gone, because death is really, for the believer, an introduction into the very presence of God. And so this is what he says. He says, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. In other words, the grave and death could not hold Jesus. Now, why couldn't the grave hold Jesus? Why couldn't death hold Jesus? Well, it couldn't hold him because Jesus and his death put an end to the agony of death by paying for our sins in full, which means that we are, when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us. And so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
The message that the disciples delivered to the world after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was called the gospel. It was good news. It was good news for sinners because Jesus had paid for their sins in full. And the proof of the fact that God was satisfied that he had paid for their sins in full was the fact that God raised him from the dead. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4. Now, you have to think with me, and I want you to think with me. I want you to have knowledge. I want you to understand the Word of God. I want you to have good, solid teaching or good, solid doctrine so that you know what you believe, and then that knowledge brings peace because you have truth. Well, in Romans chapter 4, it's talking about the death of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the righteousness of God that is given to us because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, who paid for our sins in full. So it's talking about it being credited, this faith being credited to us as righteousness. Righteousness is to be put in right standing with God. And so he goes on to say in verse 23, speaking of Abraham, now not for his sake only, not for Abraham's sake only, was it written that it was credited to him, righteousness was put to his account instead of sin, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited. You and I can have righteousness put to our account. And when it's put to our account, we're no longer a debtor of sin to God because our sins have been paid for. So it goes to say it will be credited as those who believe in him. Now listen carefully. As those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Now, what does he mean by that? He means this. He means that when Jesus was delivered for our transgressions, when he was nailed to the cross, when God took your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world and placed them upon Jesus, and Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, then God was able to give us his righteousness. Now, how do we know that? Well, he died for our sins. He was raised again from the dead because of our justification. Justification means that we have been declared righteous. It means that we have been put in right standing with God. So that when you see a billboard that says, prepare to meet thy God, you can say, I am prepared to meet God. And I'm prepared to meet God because I believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as my Savior, paid for my sins. And the proof that God was satisfied with that payment was that God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Yes, I'm prepared to meet my God because my sins have been paid for in full. Now remember, we're talking about resurrection peace. So watch what chapter 5 verse 1 says. It begins with a therefore. And when you see a therefore, you want to find out what the therefore is there for because it's a term of conclusion. It says in verse 25 of chapter 4, he, Jesus, who was delivered over because of our transgressions, our sins, and was raised because of our justification, therefore, having been justified by faith, having been declared righteous because we have believed in Jesus Christ, it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. It's the resurrection that brings peace to you and me. It's the resurrection that gives us peace so that when we are ready to die, we don't fear death, but we welcome it as a friend because death is going to usher us into the presence of Almighty God. I want you to look in your Bible at Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul was facing death. He thought that he might be put to death, and he was eager to die. He wanted to die. He wanted to be in the presence of God. And yet he felt it was more needful for him to stick around down here on earth for the sake of others so that he could minister to them. And so when he's writing them, he says, according, he says in verse 19, your prayers, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to talk later on about the Spirit of Jesus Christ, because that's where resurrection peace comes from also. According to my earnest expectation and hope. In other words, I'm expecting something. I'm earnestly expecting it. I'm hoping in it that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body. Now listen, whether by life or by death. He says, I have one ambition, and that ambition is that Christ would be exalted, seen for who he is in my body, whether I'm living or whether I'm dying. I want you to see Jesus. And so he goes on to say this, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What do you mean? To die is gain. He says, listen, this life ain't nothing to be compared with the life that is to come. Living down here on earth cannot be compared with living with God in heaven. You say, but all my loved ones are down here on earth. Well, you've got a lot of loved ones, I pray, that have gone on to heaven. And not only that, Jesus is there. The Father is there. Your home is there. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more tears. There's no more death. I mean, this mortal puts on immortality. That's what death brings. Prepare to meet your God and click your heels. Rejoice. Why is he saying this? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I don't know which to choose. I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is very much better. Have you got that? If you're facing death, if you have Christ, then dying is very much better. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 and 9 in that section, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now the question is, if you were absent from the body, if you faced death, oh beloved, would you be present with the Lord, or would you descend into hell? Would you go to that place of torment until the resurrection, when you stand at the great white throne judgment of God and are cast into the lake of fire? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. When you die, you either go into the presence of God or you are separated from God forever and ever and ever. It's either eternal life or it's eternal judgment. It's either eternal home or the eternal lake of fire. The difference is, what have you done with Jesus? The way you prepare to meet God is by believing in Jesus Christ, by receiving him as your God, your Savior, your Lord, your Master, your life. Will you receive him today? If so, you'll pass from death to eternal life. You'll be prepared to meet God. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Our precept for life today, beloved, is truly a precept for life. I mean, it couldn't be phrased any better way. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, in that last chapter, to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith or not. Now, what does he mean when he says to see if you're in the faith? It means to see if you have truly believed. Because if you have not believed, then you are not in the faith. If you are not in the faith, then you are going to perish. I mean, talk about preparing to meet your God. God is saying that if you do not have the Son, you don't have life. And if you don't have life, then the wrath of God abides on you. John wrote the gospel, and the gospel that he wrote, he tells us that these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, and that believing you might have life in his name. In John chapter 3, and he makes it very, very clear at the end of the chapter. It says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So when you see the billboard and it says, prepare to meet your God, it's a reminder that you are either going to experience the life of God or you are going to experience the wrath of God. And so in the epistle that John also wrote, in that last chapter, in 1 John chapter 5, this is what he says in verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. In other words, the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him, God, a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony, the witness that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Remember, we saw that Jesus said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The question is, have you believed? In verse 12, it says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you're not sure, then tell God right now, I want to receive your Son. And if you do, you are prepared to meet God. You've believed in Jesus, the Son of God, and you have eternal life. All you have to do is say it, and it's yours.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.